This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
America faces a choice. This is Battleground America. Here's Tara Servatius.
There's an economic miracle going on right now in Argentina. In fact, it makes me jealous. The world's first libertarian head of state, Javier Milei, is doing things that, quite frankly, I didn't even think were possible. At least not this fast. He won in 2023. That year, Argentina had been absolutely economically annihilated by the left. 211% inflation. Can you imagine? Or basically where the Democrats in this country were headed had they gotten another 4 years. Then Milei went on a cutting binge that looks a lot like what Elon Musk and Donald Trump are trying to do. He slashed spending on public works, energy, transportation, that's government spending. He merged and dissolved government ministries, fired public employees en masse, froze public sector wages and pensions below the rate of inflation, deregulated the economy, reduced subsidies for energy, transportation, and other public utilities. And he did it on a massive scale. I'm not going to lie to you. It caused pain. When you get rid of inflation, it causes pain. Increase in unemployment of a third. Poverty and joblessness temporarily shot through the roof. As pampered as Americans are, I'm not sure they could have put up with it. But Milei didn't care. He just kept going. By November of 2024, Argentina's inflation rate was 166% year over year. By December, the next month, it was 117%. When he inherited the economy, it was growing at a negative 5.3% rate. By the fourth quarter of 2024, he was in a 1.7 positive growth rate, around where the U.S. has been stuck for a while. Next quarter, 4.7% GDP growth rate. The projected for quarter two coming up, 7.1% expected GDP growth. One of my posters called it the most amazing story hidden from the rest of the world. Meanwhile, here in America, Donald Trump is implementing tariffs. There's a big tranche of them coming in April. Those are the big ones, not the ones you're hearing about today. The reciprocal tariffs that will hit just about every country on earth that we trade with. Long term, probably lead to GDP growth. That'll probably be really good for the economy. But the problem is we're going into what's already turning into a trade war with a cold and stage two cancer. While Donald Trump is looking for cuts and even making big cuts, canceling contracts and talking about canceling entire agencies, which, by the way, we will have to do to come through this, Congress is not. I pointed this out to you. They're actually spending more than Joe Biden did last year, and that's what caused the inflation. Not one thing has changed, not one iota, since we had 9% inflation. All that's changed is we raised interest rates to hide it, and in the process, forfeited the real estate market, made it so that the middle class, if you don't already own a house with equity in it, good luck buying one. When I say that Trump's tariffs will probably work long term, assuming they're left on long term. I mean that eventually, yes, in this environment, you'll probably see a lot of manufacturing move back to the United States of America, but that'll take 4 to 5 years. We could speed it up if we could do things, innovative things, like, say, cutting the tax rate into single digits, undercutting the rest of the industrial world. Then we'd see a boom, both in tax revenue into the government coffers. They'd go through the roof, even though we cut the rate. But we'd also see a business boom. But the problem is, we're not doing those things. Again, the Republican Congress is spending more than Joe Biden did. And that spending is exactly what caused inflation. And everyone's pretending, and now it's the Republicans doing the pretending, that it's not. If I had to guess what Trump's strategy here is, it's that the Republicans in Congress can't be counted on to cut a damn thing. They don't care if Americans can afford houses or food. They really don't. They're not even willing to try. But if Trump cuts whole agencies, Congress can appropriate whatever they want. The agency won't be standing there to fund. That seems to be Trump's tactic. And if Congress wanted to let Trump fight it by himself so they won't get any of the mud and the blood on them, they could. I detailed how last week. So did the Wall Street Journal when they printed a single paragraph authorizing DOGE to find waste, find fraud, and to cut it all. They can even put an amount in there. $500 billion, $1 trillion, $2 trillion if they want. They could and should also authorize the cutting of entire agencies. The Wall Street Journal even wrote the paragraph that Republicans would have to insert into our bills and pass. It would stop all these DOGE lawsuits because we're running out of time. But they won't, and they didn't. Setting up Trump and Congress for a showdown. Going into a trade war in this position, I'm not going to lie to you, it scares me. Especially when we're learning that a lot of the Biden economic stats are fake. Or were fake. See, what they're going to do now, and I predicted this for a while, and you're going to see it, is they're simply going to begin telling us the truth about the economy and making it look, in the process, like Trump wrecked it. When the federal government wants to deliver bad news, which usually means they're going to begin telling the truth about the economic stats, they let one of the regional Federal Reserves announce it. The announcement came out of the Atlanta Fed last week, now projecting Q1 GDP to be -1.5. That's a contraction. That's a disaster. The week before, they had it at 2.3% growth. And 4 weeks before that, with Joe Biden still safely ensconced in the White House, it was +3.9%. Can you see what's quietly happening? And that doesn't even count the jobs apocalypse we inherited from Joe Biden. Remember how he had to do that 800,000 revision? Yeah, because they basically faked a bunch of jobs. Well, they faked way more jobs than they even admitted to then. Remember this from economist Peter Saint-Onge? This is from just a month ago, but no doubt the jobs picture has gotten worse since then. It gives you an idea of the scale of the government economic stats fraud that permeated the Biden administration.
Now that the election is over, Joe Biden's minions are letting the terrifying economic data out of his statistical gimp box. Last week, the Philly Fed flagged yet another massive jobs revision, estimating in a new study that jobs actually fell in Q2 of this year, so that's April to June. That contrasts with official numbers claiming 653,000 jobs were created in those very same 3 months. In other words, we could be looking at another massive revision, possibly 700,000 in fake jobs brought to you by the finest statisticians government money can buy.
But wait, Saint-Onge warns, it gets worse. The total number of fake jobs, probably somewhere over 2 million. Notice again, the regional Fed is allowed to break the news in a way that hopefully nobody notices.
Note, this is on top of the BLS revision last August that erased 818,000 imaginary jobs between March of 23 and March of this year. That revision wiped out 115,000 imaginary manufacturing jobs, 129,000 retail, 150,000 in restaurants and hotels, and 358,000 professional jobs. In fact, just about the only category that was not revised down was government workers. Put it together and we could be looking at 1.5 million imaginary jobs magicked away. Note that's not including the past 6 months, which could bring it to well over 2 million.
Yeah, I heard that right. 2 million fake jobs. That's on top of the fake GDP, 3.9% as growth as Joe Biden leaves office. I still can't get over that, how they just conveniently shrunk it. Then 4 weeks later, 2.3%. And now the projection for Q1 GDP, negative 1.5%. In other words, headed into a recession. And folks, we've been in a recession for a while. They were just lying. Well, the media is already gearing up for this, as St. Ange explains. That article was more than a month ago now, but you can already see they're setting up the narrative. They know that Joe Biden wrecked the economy and that the government lied to cover it up, but the American people don't. I have no doubt long term that Trump wins a trade war. Everybody wants access to this market. There's simply nothing else like it in the world. But to go into it like this, and really honestly with the economic team for Trump, I don't think we even really know what the true economic state of this country is right now. I mean, you can see the signs of what it might be, and it's really, quite frankly, frightening what Joe Biden did to this country. Bottom line, what I'm saying is the fight Trump really needs to have first is with the Republicans in Congress.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at omicid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Look, that was an absolute crap sandwich of a bill in the House. The Freedom Caucus had to have hated voting for it, but only one defected, Representative Massey. Surely, during this time of Trump's popularity, and folks, I'm worried in a few more months, he'll be unpopular enough, he'll have more defections, and he can't get anything done because our lead in Congress, our Republican majority is so small. Now is the time to fight like hell for that paragraph that the Wall Street Journal said. Look, just let Doge do it. Let Doge take the hit for it. Let Doge make the cuts if members of Congress won't or can't. But they've got to authorize it. Yes, Trump will probably eventually win most of these lawsuits, slowing Doge down. But we're running out of time as these stats get worse and worse in the great reveal of how actually bad Joe Biden's economy was. It's going to look like Trump did it. Fight that fight first, and you've got my full backing. And as I've explained before, we can't cut it all right now. I mean, we can't go cut $2 trillion in the deficit. It'd crash the economy. But we should take half a trillion off the top, bare minimum. And we should cut so that next year, another half trillion minimum comes off the top. Then let Trump shrink another, I don't know, $250 billion off. Just through cuts, waste, fraud, things that you can absolutely justify doing with Doge, and then just gradually don't disperse the money that Congress approves to pay for it. That way, you could bring interest rates down. This needed to be done first. And I know some of you listening to this are going to say, but Tara, didn't you see the thing about Honda in response to Trump's tariff saying, yes, they're going to make 210,000 Civics per year in Indiana rather than Mexico, a direct result of what Trump's doing with tariffs. Yes, this will work. And there will be many, many more announcements like that. But the production of those Civics doesn't start till 2028. That's too late. What's worse, in a CBS YouGov poll, listen to the answer to this key question. They asked people, have prices been going up in the last few weeks? 62% said they were. I'm not going to claim liberal polling bias here because, of course, they're going up after the spending spree that Mike the Knife, our speaker, and the Democrats went on in the fall. Nothing's going to get better. Prices will continue going up. And even worse, food inflation is going up. And the same poll, but folks, I believe this because I feel it. 77% of Americans said that their incomes are not keeping up with inflation. In the face of that, Trump's economic advisors saying, hey, Americans will put up with a little bit of inflation to get, yes, they would if you could ease the pain, but they've not had a break from it. Bottom line, folks, and I don't want to be the bearer of bad news, the fight to pick right now isn't with Canada, it's with Congress. Granted, on the upside, and I want to give you the upside too, we are very well positioned when compared to Canada and compared to China for this fight. We only sell $143 billion a year worth of goods to China. They sell $453 billion to us. The Canadians, well, two-thirds of their exports come here, but 17% of our exports go there, enough to put a real hurt on an already, I suspect, reeling economy when America gets the real stats. Again, this is why the regional feds are delivering the bad news. It would be too obvious if as soon as Joe Biden leaves office, we have dramatic crashes that everybody sees. Better to break the news slowly around the edges so as best to make it look like Trump did this. Look, I get why Trump hasn't had the fight with Congress. You saw what the speaker's race looked like, right? 15 votes, total meltdown. That's probably how it would go at this point if we tried to dramatically cut spending. And by cut spending, I'm talking about $500 billion worth of spending. In other words, eliminate a quarter of the deficit. At the same time, though, I'm sort of left baffled as to why we can't try it. After all, Elon Musk, and I keep coming back to this, found half a trillion of expired programs. In other words, bizarrely, we're still paying a bill for them, even though the authorization from Congress has expired. And that means no oversight because the program doesn't exist. Where is this money going? Folks, this is why. And Elon Musk, if you read his X feed, and it's actually pretty fascinating, this is why Elon Musk has explained, this is why he's sending out the emails. He's trying to figure out, are there employees in these programs? Or where are they? I mean, think about it. One of the questions asked in these emails he keeps sending out, who is your manager? Because it's a real question. Are there managers? I simply can't comprehend why we can't just cut the $500 billion worth of programs off the top. They're not even supposed to exist. Many of them, by the way, expired decades ago or years ago, not even months ago. Nobody even knows what they do or if they do anything anymore. This whole situation's a real head scratcher. But I remain convinced the fight Trump needed to have first was with Congress. It'll define how all the others go.
Battleground America with Tara Servatius. Please subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Share with friends, family, and other free thinkers. Thanks for listening.